Chapter 4. We're in a series called Focus. And it was tough coming up with the title for the sermon because at first I wanted to borrow the Beatles title because all we need is love. Ba, 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 da, da. All we need is love. That would have been a great title. But I want to talk to you this morning about a lost love. A lost love. And just bear with me this morning as I had one of those interesting weeks where I spent part of my time in home ec. Most interesting in home ec. As a matter of fact, it's where my title for my sermon has come from this morning. I'll just spill it. I'll give away the whole story. We can just go home. I'm in this class, and it's 20 girls and myself and one young gentleman, and he had already complained that they were talking too much, so I gave him permission to put on his headphones and listen to music so that he didn't have to listen to, you know, this. Isaac knows what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. And all of a sudden, the conversation began to turn to these girls, and they said, here's their words. I don't ever want to fall in love. I don't ever want to fall in love, because all I know is you fall in love, then you go and you get married, and then you have to turn around and get a divorce. Why do I want to fall in love? If that's all that's going to take place is, I'm going to fall in love, we'll get married, but then not long after we get married, we're just going to go ahead and get a divorce. So I'm not going to fall in love. And I'm certainly not going to ever get married. And my heart began to break. Because again, these are, you know, one of the girls got called out of class because she just got accepted to National Honor Society. Okay? So these are some smart girls. They're not dumb, stupid. They're rather smart and intellectual, many of them. But their mindset already is based on what I've seen, that there is no such thing as love anymore. Tina Turner put it best, didn't she? What's love got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion? What's love got to do with it? I want to tell you today that there is a love that God has. And there is a love that we are to have for our families, for our spouses, for our children, for the lost, for the brethren of the household of God. There's a love that we can display for this world to see. And it was all I could do to jump in and go, guys, Can I just stop you for a second? You know Mrs. Hartley, and they've all gone through Mrs. Hartley's office, because if you go through junior high, you spend a great deal of time dealing with my wife. I said, Mrs. Hartley is my best friend in the whole world, and all of them together. Oh. I love my wife more than I did when I said I do 29 years ago. Our marriage is better now than it has ever been. It's because we're empty nesters. They're all gone, no kids. No. and some of them could tell were relating to what I was saying. And the others were looking at me like, you're full of it, old man. You're just right. I'm not going down that road. I'm not going to go and fall in love because they don't know what love is. They know what lust is. Hello? They know what lust is, but they don't know what true love is because they're not experiencing it at home. And they're certainly not experiencing the type of love that God showed us. And so we read in 1 John chapter 4, God is love. Everyone say that. It's the first memory verse you ever learned if you've ever spent time in a church. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. This is the key, church, that we abide in love, because if we're abiding in love, we're abiding in God. We get to the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says that, but faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. It's got to be our greatest desire is to be loved. It's built into us how we were wired. Our greatest desire is to be loved. To have the affection, the care of someone who loves us. And God is love, and his is the only genuine love. Everything else is a fake. Every other type of love is an imitation, and it's not true love. Because this type of love, the scripture says, is called agape love. The Greek word is agape for this love. And it's an unconditional type of love. John goes on to say, though, because love has been perfected among us in this. Love should be perfected among us, the people of God. Why? Because God is love, and God is living inside of us. And so we're walking in love. It says love's been perfected in us, that because we will have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, which is love, so are we in this world. Therefore, there is no fear in love. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. These girls are afraid of love. These young ladies in this classroom that I was with, and I would assume that's just a sampling of what's going on among all the other student body. They have great fear of falling in love. And it's our job, church, to find that lost love and then to show it, to declare it, to live it, to display it. Fear involves torment. Fear involves torment. And what are these girls saying? I'm going to get married. I'm going to fall in love. We're going to go to the altar. But you know what? After it gets old and he gets tired of me and I get tired of him, we're going to have a divorce. And I don't want to go through that type of torment. And I don't blame them. Hello? I don't blame them. Because what they need to see, though, is love being modeled the right way. What is true love? And you read 1 Corinthians 13. That love doesn't do this, and love doesn't. Love's not rude. Love's not rude. But rather, love is something that is given out. And love is, in our small group this week, we talked about where are your eyes. Then a person who has a proudful look, they're like this. They're looking around. Their eyes are high because they have a proud look, and they're looking down on everyone. Then there's the person whose head is down here, always looking down, and they're looking at themselves saying, woe is me. Feel sorry for me. Have pity on me. Okay? Because their eyes are on themselves, and it's still pride. The person who says, woe is me, have pity on me, they still have a pride issue in their lives. But a person who is able to look forward and look and see with his eyes, you know what he's going to see? He's going to see need around him. He's going to see, the Bible calls that person humble. Humble. A humble person. Contrite in heart. Humble. And a humble person is able to be a servant. And that's what these girls need to see. They need to understand what the Bible tells the husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And gave. Yes. Love your wives as Christ loves the church. And it used the word Christ because that means the anointed one. that we're anointed to love and we're anointed to give. We're anointed as husbands to serve our wives. Perfect love casts out all fear. Man, it's not out there for them, for everyone to see the perfect love, is it? So that means we've got to do our part to rub shoulders with them, to be able to tell them, no, 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 listen, love is wonderful. Marriage is great. And you explain to, you're trying to explain to them the best you can the benefits of how happily we are that we're married. And I can't imagine being any other way, but love has been discarded. Love has been discarded. And again, in their eyes, love is just a secondhand emotion. And the Lord said, speak these words, church, to the church, that we are to love generously. We are to love generously. Do not love sparingly, but we are to love generously. Everyone say generously. When we went through our series in Peter, and Peter says, add to your faith virtue and all these things, and he gets to the very last thing in his list that Peter tells us to add to our faith and all these different lists is what? Love. Because what? Because why? Love goes good with everything. Amen? Love goes good with everything. Because unlovely things must be deeply loved before they come lovable. Let me say that again. Because unlovely things have to be deeply loved before they become lovable. And isn't that our life stories? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's unconditional agape love. See, all other forms of love, and oh, don't we throw that word around a lot, love. Man, how have you loved pizza? Oh, yeah, I love pizza. I love to go fishing. And so what have we done to this word love? We've watered it down. It doesn't mean the same. Now, I know I scared the living fire out of Melissa Lindeberg, and I said, I told her, I love you. But how many of you know, you get to that place in your heart, and you have to express those words. And I meant it. I really meant it. Now, I had to prove it to her because my reputation was such that she didn't believe me. She didn't trust me farther than she could throw me because of my track record. But I meant it, and I was determined to win this woman's heart over. Somehow, I've got to convince her and prove to her that I really do love her and that my eyes were not interested in looking at anyone else. She told the pastor that when we had our marriage counseling. David likes to look at other girls. David likes to look at other girls. Of course, Pastor Bell, I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm going to get... He's like, oh, you have to understand, God made woman beautiful. So it's not wrong if he looks at a woman because she's beautiful. Just he doesn't need to take a second look. Melissa's like, okay. Don't you dare look. She says, yeah. Oh, perfect love, casting out fear. Perfect love, because, and here's the thing, this what makes perfect love, the type of love that God has for us and that we're to have. If you have to put an if in front of it, if you please me, if you're good, or if you're beautiful, or if you're this or that, then I'll love you. If you have to put an if in front of it, it's not God's love. Thank you, sweetheart. If you have to put an if in front of it, it's not God's love. Here's what we read 2 weeks ago, 1 John 3:14. Here's how we know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. This is how you really know that you've turned the page. You've made it over. That your actions say that not only is love in your heart, but now that you're expressing your love to the others. It's unprovoked love, isn't it? We read the story in Luke chapter 10. Basically, we'll go over this quickly. Luke chapter 10, a young man comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "What's the law say?" And the young man said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as yourself. Have you, and I know you don't normally do this, but I want you for a second. How much do you love yourself? How concerned are you about me, myself, and I? How much do I, when it comes down to making sure me, myself, and I are taken care of, or how far are we willing to go? Usually, whatever it takes to be able to, because we do love ourselves. And Jesus said, listen, it's written, we have to love others around us as much as we love ourselves. Of course, then he goes on and tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And he says that we have to go and do likewise. That's loving as God loves, amen? He's loving completely. God loves regardless of our past reputations. He loves us now as if we were already the treasure while we were yet sinners in our ugly, filthy, dirty state. We were not lovable. And so, how many of you know God wants us to love this morning? The least of these, the best of these, and the worst of these. We read over in Matthew 25, Jesus is going to talk about the least of these. Then the righteous will answer the Lord and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When were you thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you like a stranger and we took you in, or naked and we clothed you? Or when did we see you sick? Or when were you in prison and we came to you?" And the king will answer to them and say, "Listen, as surely I say, inasmuch as you did it to the," say it with me, "the least of these." As surely as you've done it and loved the least of these, that everyone else wants to look over, that everyone else wants to pass by, that everyone else wants to say, I've got too much on my plate already. No. When we love with the type of love that God has for us, we take notice of those around us. We take notice of those and count it as an opportunity to show the love of God. Think about Jesus going and cleansing the temple. You know what his main motive was for cleansing the temple? The least of these. Why? We read in Matthew 21, verse 14, "Then the blind and the lame came in the temple, and he healed them." Why did he cleanse the temple? For the least of these. Come on, church. We've got to catch this morning. God loves the least of these. And we should love the least of these. Except when I go into the prison, I don't see them as the least of these. Because their heads are held high and they got a smile on their face. And they could be the ones who are saying, "Woe is me, look at me, poor me. I'm stuck in prison." And I don't see that. I'm sure it's there in the prison. But these guys that are coming, seeking after the kingdom of God, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I don't see it on these guys. They're like, I did it, and now I'm moving on. But Scripture says for us who are available to go and visit the least of these, what a difference it's making in their lives. I am so glad for the opportunity to be able to do this. And I tell them, guys, what a privilege to be with you today. Man, I am honored to be with you today and spend some time with you. The least of these. Now, here's the tough ones then to love. How about the most of these? The winners. The ones who absolutely are so successful in every way. God gave them 10 talents. They may not be using them for His glory, but boy, they sure have it. And here's the thing you got to understand when you love the most of these. We get to do something God has never done. Cheer on someone better than yourself. When we love the most of these, we're cheering on someone better than ourselves. And I read in the Bible about the story of David and Jonathan. And Jonathan's the rightful heir to the kingdom. And he's going to be the one to has the rightful heir to take over to be the king. But you know what Jonathan does? He cheers on David. He cheers on David. See, Jonathan stepped down to allow David to step up to be the best option for Israel. Took one for the team. He loved David. Look at the story. If you get a chance to read the story of David and Jonathan and how much they loved each other and they had this strong bond for one another. Loving the most of these. And then finally this morning, and sometimes I wonder, does it get any tougher than this? Love the worst of these. Matthew chapter 5, here's what Jesus said. You have heard it said that you're to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. What are you trying to say, Jesus? These people that only have ill will for us? I'm to love them. And Jesus said, yes, especially them. Especially these people that most other people. And it's hard. I know I see it in school. You get the person, I see it at the tables. The people who are they're just vicious. They're just mean and vicious. And yet God says we're supposed to love them because He loves them. Now notice the condition that Jesus puts on loving the worst of these. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. I didn't put that condition on it. Jesus did. Then when we love these type of people, I got some folks of these in my life right now. I get an email. Congratulations, not in English. French, what's the word? French word for congratulations, remember? Anyway, you have just purchased this software. We're so grateful for it. I'm like, what? And oh, by the way, they use your debit card to purchase that software in France. No, it was in Poland. I'm thinking, man, rotten. I was mad. Then the next week I get another one. Oh, congratulations. Now you've purchased through PayPal. You've now purchased this AVG anti-software virus program. I know you're going to be I didn't purchase that. And I realize somebody's got all my personal information. Enough so on my debit card, they had all my numbers plus the security code on my debit card. Let me ask you a question. Did Pastor Hartley want to love that person? No. I wanted to find out who they were, send Interpol after them, and send them the... I was mad. Then Pastor reads the scripture like this. that you will be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Even the tax collectors is the worst of the worst. Even them, they do that. Now, am I saying that because I love them, we should just, it's okay. You know, go, here's the rest of my accounts and the rest of all my information. No. But I'm still supposed to love those people who are doing this to me. And the only way I can do it is because of the grace of God. The only way you can do it and love these type of peoples is the grace of God. But yet God says, we got to love them. We've really got to love them in whatever way that we can. Because, stand with me this morning. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Because, here's the word. It's so powerful. Three words that Paul writes. Love never fails. Love never fails. He said, listen, there's going to be prophecy, it'll fail. There'll be tongues, it's going to fail. All these things are going to be failed because they're only partial. They're not the whole real thing. But when that which is perfect will come, then that which is in part will all be done away with. Because we know in part and we only prophesy in part. Love, say it with me, love never fails. Someone help me with the words of the hymn. I was lost. Da 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 da. From the waters lifted me, safe and dry. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love never fails. I don't know how to help these little girls. I wish I knew. I wish there was a way somehow I could invite them over to my house and sit them down and talk with them and tell them about love. In true love. Because teens, we know this. True love waits. Right? True love waits. That is true. Let me tell you what. True love is the greatest thing in the whole world. And it because it is a love, unfeigned, perfect, pure love that comes down from our Heavenly Father to us. And then because of that, we're able to love the least of these, the best of these, and we can even love the worst of these. Father, help us this week. Help us this week. Lord, each and every one of us is going to be walking into situations where we need to let love, your love, just absolutely cover these situations. Father, let it start in our homes. God, I thank you for husbands and wives today. God, I thank you for those who said, I do at an altar for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in his sickness and his health, in sickness and in health till death do us part, that type of love. God, I thank you, Lord, for a rekindling and a refiring of the love of the marriage for those, Lord, who are in that relationship. Father, I thank you for strong families. God, I thank you for love for a mom and her children, for a dad and his children this morning. God, let us love our children as you love us, your children, oh God. And Father, we thank you for the love, Lord, that we can show to this lost and dying world. Lord, a love demonstrated for them, to them. Lord, your love that wants to capture their hearts. Father, thank you today for the kingdom of God that we get to be a part of and the love that comes with it, oh God. Lord, I bless your people in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Don and Sharon, come forward. We're going to pray for you this morning. Oh, we're going to miss you.